Now, let us just do a quick review of soul ages in a general sense before we get into more of the specifics. Many of you have seen diagrams like this before, and we'll use a couple of others. But this represents a notion, this visual diagram, of the fact that there are five soul ages that all human beings go through embodied. Now, those of you who read the teaching know about transcendental souls and infant souls. I'm leaving those to the side for the moment because most of you will never go through those in an embodied state. Instead, what this graphic represents is you see that the infant soul has seven levels or layers of color in it, the baby soul, young, mature, and old. They all do. And in each of those stages, you revisit the seven levels. And the seven levels are the same that are in the book, so I won't belabor those. But each of those levels take, as when you're talking about on a cultural, social, global level, hundreds of years each. So right now you are in first level mature. And what happens at first level mature stage then is there is often a wanting to flip back to the previous previous soul age because it's familiar, it's known, and it's got all that time and grade. All of human history has been built on the lessons of young, baby, and infant soul qualities. It's familiar to you. It's what's in your instinctive center. But understand, folks, another way of saying it, we borrow a quote from one of your participants here, a very wise scholar of this teaching student, Catherine Schwanger, who says, history does not repeat itself, but there is a rhyme scheme to its themes. And we like that as a meme, because understand that what you will encounter in the 21st century in this technological era with almost 8 billion people on the planet, with yes, coming up against real environmental degradation and with no more places to expand out or migrate into on this planet, what happened when colonialism happened or America was conquested by manifest destiny and all the things where you could continue to expand as you grew physically, as far as real estate, there's nowhere to grow. You have to grow inward by changing the conditions of your mindsets. And those mindsets of individuals then roll out in terms of collective cultural policies, norms, practices, and ways of doing things. And again, we reiterate that you're going to see this phrase used in everything that we, Stephen, and we, the consortium, use in all of our presentations and materials. We talk about the mind and its major function of the intellectual center as making meanings. And we saw a question just alluded to about judgments and judgments towards self. Folks, it is not the judgment that is the problem. It is the fact that you emotionally condemn yourself with it. Judgments are just thought forms. It's when you hook an emotion to it and then drive it into yourself or anyone else as a nail, believing it to be true about them, that is where the problem is. And so during this period where there is this liminal space and you may feel some lostness, confusion, or at least you may see it in the world, even if you're not experiencing yourself, realize that it is time for humanity to make new collective meanings. And one of the collective meanings to adopt is to understand that, yes, you live with fear on the physical plane, but you do not have to live from fear because fear is on the physical plane only. But understand that when fear has a grip of ego, ego being that part of personality that deals with everyday life, that deals with others, that deals with fear itself, ego's want to be right, because the animal knows if it makes a mistake, it may cost it its life. Is that wrong? Is that bad? No, it's just animal programming from the physical plane. You can use your intellect to be real with yourself and say, oh, I can have judgments, but I don't have to label them as truth. I can understand my ego makes meanings, but it is not the only meaning. And I don't have to be right about what comes up. I just have to notice what comes up. And folks, if you want to help bring peace to the world, the wisest words you can learn to say is, oh, I might be mistaken. Because if you can do that, and you can humbly own the fact that you don't have to know everything, let alone that you don't know everything, and no one does, then you can help defray not only a lot of conflict, but you can model for others a way of being that gives them permission to also be potentially backing down from needing to be right and righteous. So, getting back into the use of our teaching terminology, the entire mature soul era then is stage four of evolution, which is under the assimilative axis, which is another way of saying the scholar role. So for the next 3,000 years, all of the assimilative axis and mature soul orientations are going to have a philosophical flavoring of these qualities, helping you to understand, especially those of you who are new to this teaching, this has big implications. There are four main axes of creation. We call them often the pillars of creation themselves. That is expression, inspiration, action, and assimilation. And the three previous soul ages have been embedded in other axes. Now you've reached the assimilative stage. This is where the harvesting of all three previous lessons of soul ages comes together. That's why the positive poles of the assimilative axis of inculcation and the mature soul of involvement merge with the scholar of learning knowledge. Now, notice those are all the positive poles. Those are the directives, if you will, of the mature soul paradigm. Not about the, you know, getting of stuff, not about the consumption of stuff, not about conquest and success over, but the expansion of awareness and becoming conscious of what is. Now, we've already mentioned that what happens is often in the negative poles, not because they're fearful, but because they're contractive. We hope that you learn a different definition, or at least an additional definition, to the idea of the negative poles in our teaching. They are not just about fear. They are about contraction, whereas the positive poles are about expansion. When you think about it from that way, then notice the charge can come off it and you can see it from a different perspective. So between paradigms in that liminal space that we described earlier, there is a period of disintegration. And as we said, of old beliefs, of old traditions, of the status or stature of authority. And then it falls into ambiguity. People are unclear. You don't know for sure. And we're not suggesting you necessarily as individuals all feel this way, but certainly we know you can feel it. You can sense it in the greater population. And that's part of the we that we're talking about in the mature soul era, ladies and gentlemen, is that everyone becomes aware that every feeling, every emotion, every state, every psychic impulse that you have is more than just your own individual state. It is geigering the collective pulse. And that is what can lead individuals then to feeling and needing to generate theories, descriptions about reality that aren't necessarily real themselves. So how do you deal with that? Well, now we address these other assimilative overlays and how they are a part of the function of this entire circumstance. First of all, a quick caveat, folks, whatever your soul age, old, mature, young, or baby, because there are some young and baby soul people that really love this teaching because they recognize something in it, even though they are going through those lessons. And it doesn't mean their lessons, their personal individual lessons, and their soul age challenges are going to change, but they are going to happen within a different, larger context. So, the same is true for your individual overleaves. You're still going to experience your overleaves personally the same way, but they're going to happen in a larger and this kind of context. So the direct, if you will, is stay in flow. Find ways of staying in equilibrium. That is to say, constantly adapting to new balances. If you don't and you remain in stagnation or inertia, which is stagnation being still, inertia being in a constant state of everything moving around you. Either one of those will feel very overwhelming to you. Having an attitude of pragmatism is realizing, utilizing any of the other six attitudes. In fact, using all of them like different lenses to look at circumstances differently. You don't need just to be stuck in one dogma, which is the negative pole of the attitude of pragmatist. Observation is really important here. Indeed, many of you realize that observation is the foundation of the scientific method, which has really been ushered in and is now the center point of how human thinking is going. Why? Because it helps bring clarity. Because observation is the first state in understanding how to see reality and build theories about reality. It's observation, hypothesis, testing, and then noticing and counting results truthfully. Otherwise, you become a bystander, and that's the negative pole of surveillance. Is you stand outside the action, but folks, you are still feeling the effects of action. So you might as well get into the game and be part of it. Now, what happens is, and the chief feature of stubbornness is all about fear of the unknown and fear of change. So instead, what you can do is you can learn to apply energy and use the positive pole by jumping in and using determination. Those of you who have a deck of our Michael Motivation cards know that we used the image of the charging buffalo as a representation of the positive pole. Because yes, it does take effort and it does take ramming your head against things sometimes to learn them. Not fun, but true. Otherwise, if you stay in resistance and inaction, again, you are still subject to changes around you, even if you are not making the changes yourself. Now, under the centering of the instinctive center, it's important to note the positive pole of essential. We replaced the old idea of atomic and anatomic because we found that they were cumbersome. Essential means both of essence, but we also mean foundational. And when you distill things to their foundational essence and their spiritual essence, and you come from them, then you strip away a lot of what's superfluous and you find what's actually true. And you can use that as a solid new building block for yourself. It doesn't mean completely eliminating the old. It means raising the old that were either in unconscious or subconscious into conscious awareness. And then begin to integrate that with logic and begin to temper your intuition with logic. And then finally, when we talk about the body type, we literally are talking about this is going to be the age of switching into using the sun and befriending the sun, remembering that you are both plant and mammal, being outdoors and solar, and using solar energy is absolutely essential. Within the applied Michael approach, we want to give you also a synonym that we use regularly. Baby and young soul paradigm, which you have had your history built on in the last 30,000 years. basically living from unconscious drives from the instinctive center that essence has built, that Tao has built into the physical plane. All of that we call the dominant aggression competition model. And everything you see in nature, every nature program you ever turn into on television talks about, you know, the competition to struggle to survive, the use of aggression for establishing dominance and hierarchy so that, you know, it promotes the forward motion of your genes, et cetera, et cetera. Well, when we add on a spiritual component to it, we say that up to this point, you have been driven by karma, by fate, and you have been governed by the dictates of self-preservation, a me mindset. Well, the entirety of that paradigm is now shifting into what we call the conscious awareness, cooperation, choice, consequences, or us mindset. And why we've called this the emergent mature soul paradigm is because, understand, you as old and mature souls will be the role models to help those persons who have not yet encountered these things, let alone even thought about these things, begin to incorporate them and actually create new realities. In a way, you might say, ladies and gentlemen, that you are going to be shifting from your nature of Homo sapien animals into human beingness, and even what we have called humane beingness. And for those of you who are familiar with modern terminology outside of our own teaching, you know that the modern era has literally been so influenced by Homo sapiens dominating every corner of nature and even the ecosphere itself, that it has become known by scientists to be called the Anthropocene, anthro meaning man. So we're in the Anthropocene. It's time that you embrace the responsibility of that, because if you abdicate that responsibility, then the trajectory is already written. Now, we just want to share this briefly because it's worth noting. Many of you in the New Age self-help movement have run across Abraham Maslow's very famous and very useful hierarchy of needs. We have often cited over the years the similarity, and we stretch the word similarity metaphorically, allegorically, to the soul age evolution. Now, the most important thing that we want to go back to is the bottom one, physiological needs, which would be the shared commonality of all living things on Earth. In this first stage of the mature soul era, what must be addressed for human species to turn the ship away from the evolutionary cliff towards extinction, and yes, we do mean it that seriously, is for you all to begin to address the physiological needs of every living thing, let alone every living person on this planet. All the rest will follow suit. And we want to remind you of something. We're going to read you just a simple sentence that was cited on page 67 in Messages from Michael, while Michael was reporting why causal teachers had been coming to the planet back in the 70s in the first place, that they have come at a turn of the tide because there are approximately 10 alternative courses open to this world, 8 of which they said they would consider fairly unattractive, even devastating. And that they recognize this time period as a psychic revolution. And a psychic revolution, as they defined it, was a change in the overall belief systems. And ladies and gentlemen, those of you who didn't know about young to mature soul context, we hope now you have a better embrace of it, because that's what it's about, a change of belief systems on a massive scale. But one of the beliefs that will have to be made manifest is providing for the physiological needs of all living things. Here are some other mature soul values that you see rising up into consciousness and being embraced more and more frequently. Okay, first of all, we talk about conscious evolution, meaning that you, in fact, actually do have some impact on choosing the direction that humankind will go, but also that you as individuals have duties, not just rights, but obligations to the groups and the earth itself, but changing your mindset to a both and, not an either or. Because when you have the inclusivity of both and, then you open your mindset, to knowing that there's lots of possibilities available. Then also that realizing the hyper-masculine force has been the predominant energy that has driven the first three soul ages. But now bringing feminine power, that absorptive quality, that allowance to follow the organic nature of things rather than superimpose the mechanical determined nature that humans create, machine-like order on things. Absorption versus accumulation. We just want to make a reference here to help you understand that there is so much abundance on planet Earth now, in spite of the fact that there have been made artificial shortages by human hoarding, by a class system, by a capitalist economic system that artificially partitions things. In fact, human beings often don't even take in enough nourishment, even though they engorge themselves on all sorts of indulgences. There is enoughness in the world if you could feel that sense of what is really important. And to do that, it means you learn about energy and how it converts, and also the amount of waste you create. Another thing that will happen in this time period under the information era is to realize that not only will new discoveries be revealed, but the time to tell old secrets and to explore and stop living behind the pretense of old taboos must come to an end. And then lastly, is learn to realize that it's living from a higher vibration. A higher vibration doesn't involve denying anything. It means allowing yourself not to be in resistance to anything. And that vibration is different from frequency or pace. Frequency is how fast you move. Human race already moves at breakneck pace. Vibration, however, is actually fairly dense because there's a lot of fear out there. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of grief, and there's a lot of uncertainty causing fear of fear itself. So we've already covered a lot of this, but one thing about this slide is just to remember that with human population growing, the viability of the earth is shrinking. Everyone affects everyone else, and all are accountable. So part of that mature soul scholar shift is going to be questioning more than what's going to happen to just me, and realizing a more exalted or inclusive perspective of that we're all in this together and that everyone affects everyone else. Now, psychologically, that psychic revolution means that you stop the baby soul and young soul inclination toward wanting reductionism and oversimplification. And the easiest form of oversimplification is the egotistic way of folding your arms smugly and say, because I say so. Unfold your arms. It's not because you say so. No truth has ever been true just because you make the declaration. Truth becomes has validity because it has fact, because it has conviction, and because it has love, but because it is also evolving. The more you know, the more truth grows. You have truth in context to Soul Age. Another evolution then is to become aware that you are operating in systems, multiple systems, an ecological system, governmental systems, corporate and economic systems, social systems, racial systems, caste systems, systems of biochemistry, the Krebs cycle, night and day, the systems of astrology and astronomy. All of them are concurrent, but some systems, when they become overburdened, can collapse. So get out of binary thinking of right and wrong. But ultimately, folks, the scholar is all about weighing, constantly weighing. And you're constantly weighing, really, what has more value to you. And as this particular graphic show you, the weighing really comes down at this time in history. And for this first stage of the mature soul era, will you value money, greed, human-made abstractions more than the physical planet Earth, which you call home, which you actually need as your playground? So you're going to be asking a lot of your questions in this way. What is my relationship to life, other people, my identities? What am I as a male, as a man, as a 60-year-old, as an American, or as a European, a German, an African? What about your relationship to work? What is your relationship to technology? How much does it run you or you run it? But also, what is your relationship ultimately to the way you feel about things? Are you in fear, a fear itself? Or can you be in love even when it is painful? And one of the greatest and most frightening things that most people are afraid of is to face the reality of their own mortality. Stephen Jay Kokoni, and every one of you as an individual by your own name, is a finite creation. And you will die. Essence will not. But when you die, this grand experiment of who you are, this unique filter of the Tao, ends. So how do you spend your time here? Do you cherish it? Do you value it? Do you utilize it and squeeze every drop out of it? Or do you take it as granted and avoid the reality that at any given time, at any given moment, your time may come to an end? After all, that is the purpose of the seven internal monads, to measure your time intervals and to see how you as an individual have progressed. And as this graphic shows, yes, it is complex. Life has many balances, and you are constantly in a dynamic flow of weighing and evaluating. So please have compassion for the reality that life is not one simple thing. It is constantly an ongoing question and answer, weighing circumstantially, understanding and gaining more information. And the way you will do that is by honing and refining these ideas that you call your principles, your core understandings of things. Yes, part of them are recognizing your overleaves role in Soul Age. But beyond that, what do you stand for here in the world? And those things that you love are defined as your values. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, on the physical plane, in bodies, in the presence of many other co-creators on the physical plane, and the trajectory of a soul age as it stands now, and where the trajectory of both soul ages are, is you are actually seeing a transition in the negative poles of the young soul, which is acquisition, in hyper abuse and hyper acceleration into the negative pole of the mature soul era, into ambiguity, confusion, and uncertainty. These are not bad or wrong, but yes, they are both suffused with fearfulness. Your values and asserting what you love helps to conquer that fear and anchor something new for reality. And sometimes that means choosing to stand and be accountable for them, and perhaps even fighting for them. Because even though this is an assimilation action period, it is not neutral. On the physical plane in duality, there is no neutrality, because inaction defaults to whatever is the most active. So, just to give you then a few of the predictions before we start taking questions, these are some of the things that we see. Through the rest of the 21st century, human population will reach about 11 billion and then begin to fall off fairly dramatically, either by choice of population measures or because there will be dramatic reductions in the food supply. International cooperation, a mature soul thing, albeit grudging, will begin to happen more and more between countries. And you've seen that ever since World War II with the formation of an albeit fairly sterile and fairly castrated, for want of a better term, United Nations. But still, climate change will cause interdependence. Now, one of the more interesting things that you're seeing is individual souls exploring gender diversification. While there are two physical sexes on the physical plane, sexual dimorphism is part of duality. But the expression of that has any number of diversities and ways of exploring masculine and feminine energy. The LGBTQ community, and forgive us if we're not saying that entirely correctly, giving a nod to all of our students who are brave enough to venture down those paths this lifetime. We want you to know that there will be more support out there. And obviously, it is more public and more inevitable that people will have to reckon with that in themselves and with others. Institutions for the first half of this 21st century are going to grow larger, both governments, but unfortunately for many of you, private corporations. But after that, you are going to see both forced and collapsed decentralization. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we can tell you that all of human efforts combined can begin to reverse pollution. But before that happens, you are going to see increases first in the dramatic effects of plastics in your air and water, of the effects of how much land that you've created toxically because of burying all your chemicals underneath once was good fertile soils. Also, the way that you have polluted your waters and the way that you have decimated forests and mountain ranges, let alone exterminated complete and utter species. So all of that is going to give the boost to the scientific community to both help rehabilitate Earth, but in the short run, continue these advances, some albeit, you know, just continuing to exploit consumerism. And unfortunately, you're going to continue to see a trend where there will be increased food, water, and financial and even personal physical security loss this century, which is going to lead to mass migrations due to economic, political, and resource dislocation. You'll also see more women take power in the world. But sexism dies hard, ladies and gentlemen, and just know that it will be a long fight. So both men and women will have to really confront the native sexism that is embedded in not just the human race, but all mammalian life. Because in mammalian life, the male body is is physically favored. And so all of your traditional structures have been built on it. So women are going to get held more accountable for a long time until they equalize the score. Credit transactions are going to become more and more commonplace, to where money, or at least physical, tangible exchanges of currency, go away by sometime in the latter part of the century. But you'll see the resurgence of barter. So learn to barter your skills, diversify your skills, and learn to find out what's really valuable in both an information, but also survival kind of circumstance. And then lastly, healthcare, because of technology and pharmacology, will extend human lifespans. But because of inequality in economics and political power, many people will experience vastly shortened lifespans. That the old soul contribution to this new emergent paradigm is for you to be role models. To understand that your contribution doesn't mean you're out there hitting protest lines and so forth, but it is rather you harvesting your composure, your minds, your love, creating an aware, a self-aware mind that honors and guides the heart. It allows for emotion. It does not suppress them. And it honors compassionately those and others. But it recognizes and distinguishes animal impulses and the kind of rash actions that people can often take. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go ahead and we'll take the last few minutes of today's session for some of the questions.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen. And thank you, Michael. What a great blending of information. So we did get some questions, and some of them were actually answered in the presentation. So hopefully we can get through them all. If not, there'll be time in the chat. So the first one is from Brian Wieland. How does Michael see implementation and potential challenges to the shift from binary thought processes to trinary or a septenary spectrum as part of the emergence of the mature soul age?
Thank you for the question. It's excellent. And humorously, we will say that, of course, that is volumes of material. We'll try and be as succinct as we can. And for a sage scholar, you know that's a bit of a challenge, but we'll try. The first part is to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that all of you, as long as you entertain the fact that there are more than two possibilities, that allows for at least tertiary understanding. You already in this teaching practice what Hegel, you know, called the dialectic, the thesis, the antithesis, and the synthesis. You know it as positive, negative, neutral. Well, if you populate that triad with and realize that many possibilities that people often offer really fall in between those three parts, then you have an entire spectrum. And then you have that septenarian, that multiplicity of options. But what it does is that takes practice to get out of saying, well, this one's right and that's this one's wrong. Instead, what it is, it's coming to and learning the phrasing, which one is the most applicable circumstantially, or which one will yield the potential greatest benefit, and then which one has potentially the greatest difficulty of either being implemented or the greatest costs. That kind of thinking opens up a spectrum and can help a person step out of either or binary. That's our rough thumbnail for that one. Next question.
Okay, great. This one's from Susanna Atascadero. Does that mean that the mature soul era will be interspersed with old soul influences going forward?
Yes, Susanna, it does. Old soul influences, as well as old soul people, you know, let's call them figureheads, if you will, you know, are brought to light by persons, say, such as Nelson Mandela or Martin Luther King or Mother Teresa, the Dalai Lama, Mother Mara. They're not necessarily as widely held in the public spectrum. Such many of the practices of the New Age brought from the East, the originals of those, you know, were brought to old souls by old souls, and now they have filtrated into more common thinking. You know, 50 years ago, you would have said the word yoga, and people would have said, what? Because they wouldn't have known what the word meant, because they wouldn't have heard it before without a select subgroup. Now you say the word yoga and you realize that, you know, there's major product lines selling you gear about it. Every health club has yoga studios, any number of things. Other old soul contributions that have been out there have been the idea of intentionality. Intentionality is not so much the popularized way that you have heard, you know, the law of attraction. That's more a kind of a glamorized young soul, mature soul hybrid that just said, oh, if I can think it, it'll magically happen. No, intentionality is the old soul awareness brought to bear by somebody like a Yogananda or a Maharishi or a Dalai Lama, who says, you know, hold space on a conditioned way of being. Do not deny anything, but allow. The Buddha and Jesus both held those spaces, although albeit in different ways. Those are old soul notions and contributions, but notice they are not necessarily action oriented. They are more being oriented. They are demonstration oriented. They are you implementing them and literally being them, modeling them out into the world. Thank you for that question. Next.
Okay. Does the mature soul paradigm, age paradigm, mean that there are more mature and old souls incarnating?
A very good question. We're getting into the question of numerics. And the answer is the entirety of souls on the world, the answer to that is yes. But ironically, you want to actually thank a lot of your later young soul kin, because there have been many fifth, sixth, and seventh level young soul persons who have embraced the reality that human life cannot go on the same way. In other words, just because a person is a certain soul age does not mean that they ascribe to the collective of, you know, the dominant soul age paradigm. It may feel more familiar to them, yes. But in fact, there are baby and even young soul, young and even baby souls, rather, that have embraced the reality that there has to be something different that goes on here. Now, as far as the incarnations, the entire incarnation of the human race is moving forward in soul age. The last 100 years have accelerated evolution so incredibly because the rate of change, the number of technologies. Yes, Bobby, we realize you live in the South, but even the South hasn't gone backwards in technology, even if it has been recalcitrant in its mindset. That resistance hasn't been total amongst the entirety of the Southern population. And that's true of the entire world. What we want you to understand is, yes, while the numbers ultimately do push and help kind of ground soul age attitude and mindset on the planet, it does not ultimately just specifically define it. But there will be, and there is, a movement toward and having the numbers of ensouled beings on the planet more toward mature and old as a sum total of the population. And that includes, by the way, some of the energetic influences of the other ensouled species, whales, dolphins as well. So And by the way, human concerns for whales and dolphins. I'm going to do one more bit of shameless product placement and take this one last moment of time for all of you. For those of you who feel that they would gain value, I want you to know that I'm offering the Michael Motivation Cards at a special price that's approximately 25% off their normal price for this gathering. And so I just want to quickly acknowledge that. And embedded in this slideshow, which you'll be able to download, is a link to my website where you can go to that special page to get that special price and that shipping. And so I just want to say with it that if you get that, you can get free with it the almost 600-page Motivations Feedback System ebook that I've written along with it. And then lastly, folks, come visit me. And read about more of this if you'd like today's presentation. This is my friend Buford. I call him my ego dog because he's a good boy. And these are the three major course selections that I'm offering right now. Guide work on using the motivation cards, a complete overview course on imprinting and social conditioning, and an understanding of how this soul age evolution works. And then a communications course that I call Building Communications Bridges Using the No-Fault Communications Approach. And anytime you want to come see me or visit me at themichaelteaching.com or just give me a call, and there's the phone number, and I thank you. And that's it for me. So back to my tribe. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And I hope you found today enjoyable.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. That was great. And thank you, Michael, as well.
Thank you, Steve. That was an incredibly inspiring and empowering presentation. And to take this subject further, Steve and I have set up a Facebook group, a brand new group called the Emergent Mature Soul Paradigm. Please sign up if you'd like to participate in this ongoing discussion as we usher in this new era.